people. But unfortunately, police departments across the country and across the world and the people who they take their directives from do not know that, do not think that. So we have to assert it. And we know how absurd it sounds, but we have to say it because it's not being shown in our everyday lives.
Okay.
I encourage people all the time to visit the website, killedbypolice.net. The people who run the site go and search the internet every day for stories in the news, the ones that make it to the news, mm-hmm. about when police use deadly force. And of course, they use deadly force disproportionately against Black people. And the fact that this is so prevalent and seems so natural in our society is the reason that we have to scream Black Lives Matter, the reason we have to shut down. I mean, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry that we are holding up your traffic, your intersections, your bridges. But this is what we have to do until the powers that be do realize that all lives matter, including Black people, because as it stands right now, they do not realize it.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll scream it until they do.
So what is the connection between violence against trans men and women, Black men and women, Black trans men and women, and police terror?
Yeah, I am a Black trans woman. I can speak a little bit to my experience with horrendous police, mainly the NYPD. I'm from New Jersey, in case people cannot hear that already. The policing of bodies is so intrinsic to every department to say that everyone gets treated equally by officers is laughable. They are trained to profile. And I can hear people who want to assume best intentions and assert that officers are people too. Police unions are unions that we should be working with, and the officers, the men and women, are in the working class. I can't really get behind that because I know what it's like to be profiled every day, being accused of being a sex worker, which, by the way, there is no shame in that. But to have that be seen as a criminal act and being pursued by the police, questioned constantly, stopped always, as a way to correct my behavior, to police my body, to force me further into the shadows, which then, of course, spills over into all other aspects of lives, of my life. The police are so central to the marginalization of Black people, of trans people, and certainly, especially of Black trans people. And this is what informs so much of my fervor and my fever. I'll shut it down.
Right? So shut it down. You said, you know, you're going to be committed to shutting it down. What do you mean when you say shut it down? And can you also give me some examples of some victories? Because there seems to be so much work to be done and so far yet to go in order for us to really value each other's lives as much as we think we should value our own.
Yeah, I know that there have been victories across the country of special prosecutors, of community oversight boards, and that those are wins for the people involved. For me, my work has a lot more to do with agitation and pointing out some of the contradictions of policing in general, helping people to better understand the role of police and just how intrinsic anti-Black racism is in our culture. I feel like that kind of information dissemination in order to help people to break with these tightly, closely held ideas that inform our identities as Americans that if I can start to tear away at that fabric and point out to people some of the most obvious things to me, but things that sometimes people have never even considered, that if I can help to begin to break down those walls in their minds, well, then we can really be on our way to something.
So, Alyssa, you just spoke about, you know, things that you're making an effort to do. You said, if I can help break down the walls in people's minds. And for people in the cable community who might be here in Portland or even elsewhere, if they're listening online, what are some of the things that other people can do themselves, either as individuals or collectively?
I believe that more than anything I could ever dream of doing personally, I think that people's minds change through struggle. That when we go out in the streets and shut it down, and people can see that we are out in the streets with our whole heart and soul, that we are filled with rage and sorrow, and that they can then see what the police response looks like to that, and that even though we put our bodies on the line time after time, things are not changing in a meaningful way. We get new stories almost every day of police killing Black people with impunity. And people being able to see that, I think, will have a transformative effect on their minds more than anything I could ever say. To the listeners of KBOO, of course, I want them to hear why it is that I am so dedicated to this and why I will probably end up spending my whole life on this, because the dismissive attitude that police have, that our very system has, I mean, to continue to say it's police, it's police, it's police, is really to let the entire system off the hook. I mean, imperialist, white supremacist, capitalist patriarchy, right? So that is what needs to begin to be broken down. And until that happens, people will continue to be killed, murdered, and we won't bat an eyelash. And that breaks my heart. And I hope that it breaks other people's hearts too.
So you said a lot there. And one of the things you said was that not a lot has changed. But you still felt that, you know, even though people are continuing to be murdered with impunity, you still felt that we needed to be in the streets and experiencing the reaction that happens when people are in the streets demonstrating and standing up and making our voices heard. We need to see the reaction of the law enforcement personnel and the state. If we've been in the streets up to this point and we're still getting killed with impunity, what do you think it's going to take to actually stop? Or do you think that as long as we have white supremacist capitalist patriarchy, is it possible for the murder and the wasting of Black life to actually happen? To stop happening?
That is the big question. Am I doing this for nothing? Will I not see the change that I'm striving for in my life? I don't know. And I try to come up with other motivating ideas. Other than that, because it may not happen. Sometimes I feel very negatively about the progress that we're making and the progress that we are likely to make within my life. For me, that's not why I fight. That's not why I organize. That's not why I agitate entirely. I do it because if I don't, I feel like there's no point in living for me at all.
Well, that's serious, and we live in serious times, and I want to thank you for joining us today and talking about your commitment to the struggle. Can you say a little bit about this event that's going to be happening, Whitelandia and Black Lives Matter, state-sanctioned discrimination, United We Fight? It's a three-day event from August 7th through the 9th, the 7th and 8th at the First Unitarian Church downtown on 1034 Southwest 13th. And then another event's going to be happening on 8114 Southeast Division on Sunday. Those are both afternoon, 3 days of afternoon events. Can you say a little bit about those events this weekend?
Yeah, they are all 4.5 hours, which is how long the police left Michael Brown's body out on the street in Ferguson for everyone in the neighborhood to see as an example of what happens when you disrespect police. So we like to honor that when we do our events, our meetings, and we like to do things for 4.5 hours just to keep that fresh in everyone's mind, that we are being used to create an example. So that's that.
Okay.
So yeah, 4.5 hours during those days. You can go to the Don't Shoot Portland Facebook page for a detailed breakdown of what times on each day. The first 2 days will be panel series on a range of topics that pertain to Black Lives Matter. And on Sunday will be a community art project. People are encouraged to bring supplies on any of the days if they have any art supplies so that we can all make something in respect to and for Michael Brown. There's going to also be nonviolent direct action training on that day and lots of food, fun, laughs, a space for people to talk and heal. And then afterwards, we're all going to say hi to Bernie Sanders.
Wow.
Make sure that we're keeping him on his toes, because he has said some questionable things about our movement. So we are going to push him to help him to come to a better idea. We'll see if we can do that.
Well, right on, Alyssa. Thank you so much for the work you're doing, and we'll see you in the streets.
Thank you, Mike Crenshaw.
Have a good day.
Bye.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. Up next, from the KPFA archives and the Watts riots of 1965. First, a few important messages.
But they promised to support the United States efforts at the Geneva arms talks and called on the Soviet Union to take a positive attitude.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to present The Yes Men Are Revolting as part of the KBOO at the Clinton monthly film series. The Yes Men Are Revolting is a documentary directed by Andy Bickelbaum and Mike Bonanno, which follows the comedy troupe The Yes Men as they stage phony press releases and events to bring attention to environmental dangers and corporate greed. Again, that's The Yes Men Are Revolting, Thursday, August 13th at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Aurora Colony Vineyards 2015 Jazz Festival, August 9th, with doors opening at 2 p.m. and performances from 3 to 9 p.m. The Aurora Colony Vineyards is located at 21338 Oak Lane Northeast in Aurora, Oregon. Performers include Tony Lincoln, the Ron Steen Band, Picante Latin Jazz, Tom Grant, and many more. Again, that's the Aurora Colony Vineyards Jazz Festival, August 9th, from 2 to 9 p.m. More information about directions and ticket prices can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
We were trying to get the injured people and take them to hospitals because there are no emergency vehicles over there other than police cars. They will not come in the area. Even the fire department, they're hesitant in coming over there. And so what we did was got an ambulance patrol to go pick up the injured people. But we couldn't do this because the law enforcement agencies there were shooting and we had to get out of the area. And there's a lot of our personnel that is missing. And so what we want to do now is set up a first aid station here. People are burning stores and people, little kids are falling down in the glass and the debris and stuff. And it's really horrible.
Hi, I'm Brian DeShazer, director of the Pacifica Radio Archives, and welcome to From the Vault, our weekly series that takes the history out of the oldest and